We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
So, Father, we thank you that faith can move mountains. Even this morning, faith in somebody's life can change a situation that is impossible. And so we lift up our hearts to you this morning as we start. Let faith be manifest this morning. Let faith be a substance in our hearts this morning and shift things in our lives. In the name of Jesus, shift things, my God. In the name of Jesus. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, Father, increase our faith this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Glory. Amen. Thank you for that word, Darren. I think it's in tune with the worship we're having this morning. An issue of faith. God is speaking to someone about the matter of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so as we deal with God, as we engage with God, the substance that God accepts is faith. Whatever it is that you are dealing with God on or in, you need faith. And so thank you for that encouragement, just to encourage us that this is a faith thing. Amen. Jesus is about faith. Christianity is about faith. Things that we do not see, but we believe as though they're here. Amen. I want to share this morning from, thank you very much, Godfrey. Well done. You keep that tune when you come back. Remember to come back. We were blessed on Sunday last week with the worship night. Well done, worship team. We had a wonderful time. And I thought folks will continue coming to the building. You know, the building is still as safe today as it was last Sunday. Welcome to our online viewers. I think from tomorrow, England is opening up a bit in terms of normal life. So we pray that many of you will also include church as part of normalizing your life from next Sunday. We've got your seat ready. The ushers have been doing an excellent job since last year, and they're still waiting for us to enjoy their hospitality in the building. Amen. This morning I'm speaking on part two of what I started last week. We were talking about reflections from the empty tomb. And I want to speak to us today on the topic from fear to courage. From fear to courage. I'm reading from the Gospel of John chapter 20 from verse 19. The Gospel of John chapter 20 from verse 19, 1-9 right through to 23. The Bible reads, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Lord has sent me, even so I'm sending you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" And verse 23, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." This is the reading of God's word. Amen. We are still reflecting on the events that happened on that Sunday morning, which we now call Resurrection Sunday. From Friday afternoon to Sunday morning, the disciples were at a complete loss. They witnessed the death of their Lord and Savior. Everything they had bet their lives on, everything for the last 3 years, it seemed to have been lost on that Friday or whatever day it was when Jesus went to the cross. They had put all their hopes on Jesus. They had built everything, and they were seeing things through human eyes. And through human eyes, Jesus was defeated on the cross. So you can imagine how they felt. They were in mourning. They were disappointed. And when that morning came, that Sunday morning in Jerusalem, everything changed and was never the same ever since. So all Jesus of Nazareth was, all he said, all he did, all he lived for, everything came to the focus at that moment of Easter. This is, for this reason have I come, he says to Pilate. He had come for this defining moment, the Resurrection Sunday. Everything was built on that. It was that day when history was changed. And so we know that the ladies had come and told the disciples in the morning, they told them that Jesus is risen. They had their doubts, they had their fears, they even just dismissed the report. And so on that Sunday evening, as we read from the text, Jesus comes to the disciples on this day of resurrection, the first day of the new creation, the first day of the week. The disciples met together. The Bible says they were behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Fear suffocates faith. So I like the word that came, because fear has a tendency of choking your faith. When you are afraid, you forget the promises of God. And fear eats you up. You become so dominated by that which you see with your eyes, and every other voice you're hearing gets shut out, particularly the voice of Jesus Christ. So fear is a dangerous thing. In fact, the Bible calls it a spirit, because it behaves like it knows you. That's how fear behaves. Bible says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. So it's a spirit as far as the Bible is concerned. Paul says it's like a spirit of fear. But he has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So there's something about fear you need to be aware of, that it will choke your faith. This is why the Lord so often says in the Bible, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, because it's a spirit. So wherever people were confronted with the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we read from particularly John chapter 20, which has a number of people that had an encounter with Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ. Their lives were never the same. Their lives were completely changed. In fact, that same transforming experience of the resurrection power of Jesus is here today. And it can change your life. Wherever you are, whether you're online, whether you're right here in the building, that resurrection power is still able to transform your life. You can never be the same when you have an encounter with Jesus Christ. We read about these people that met Jesus in his resurrected form. The Bible is very clear that these guys were radically impacted by that encounter, and they were never the same. They were cowards before they met Jesus, but they became courageous after they met him. In fact, they became unstoppable. That's what the book of Acts is about. The book of Acts is about the unstoppable acts of men and women filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what the book of Acts is about. In fact, the book of Acts does not end properly. Chapter 28 does not do fair justice to what was happening in the book of Acts, because you are chapter 29. You are supposed to fill the script, continue filling the script from wherever you are, and it's because of the resurrection power. I want to quickly look at how did our Lord Jesus transform these fearful disciples to become courageous apostles? What happened? How did he do it? The first thing we read here is that in the Gospel of John chapter 20, verse 19, the Bible says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Number one is Jesus came to them. How did Jesus transform them from being fearful to being courageous? We read that he came to them. Now, that may sound simple to you, but it's something else when a resurrected Christ appears to you. We do not know where these frightened disciples were hiding. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly where they were hiding, but what we do know is that they were hiding behind locked doors. That we do know. Scripture tells us that they were locking doors. If you wanted to go to the toilet, they locked you out for a moment. When you came back, they locked you in. Whenever you wanted to go out, get some air, they locked you out for a moment. When you came back, they locked you in. That's what a key does. A key locks you in. The doors were not only shut, they were locked. Why? Because that's what fear does to us. So fear locks you in your own world where you're assuming this will happen. You meditate on it and say, oh my goodness, this is going to happen. I'm dead. I'm finished. That's what fear. It locks you into its own world. Because fear is a system, it's a spirit, it's a world of its own that can imprison you. So here they are, imprisoned by fear. And who are they afraid of? The Jews. But it's not the Jews that nailed Jesus to the cross. It's the Romans that did that. And here they are, afraid of who? The Jews. You can imagine, they had seen Jesus nailed to the cross. And they're like, oh my goodness, will it be us next? And by the way, it took you quite a few days to die on the cross. So the other two guys who hung on the cross were still on the cross on that Sunday morning. And they knew that. And they're like, oh, it's going to be us now. And so they hid. They shut the door and they said, oh, lock the door as well. I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe the enemy has locked you up. You're even afraid of lifting up your head in case someone breaks through the door. I've got news for you today. Jesus came. Jesus came. But who did he come to? Did he just go to anybody? No, he came specifically to where the disciples were, because Jesus knows your address. Jesus knows your location in the spirit. He knows where you are. He knows your cell number, as in prison cell number. So he's coming for you. He's coming for you. So something happens, they are hiding, and suddenly and inexplicable, they see Jesus standing in their midst. And they're thinking, Peter, did you lock the door? Check the door, check the door. So he walks into the room. It defies the laws of nature. My goodness. To come for you. He didn't appear to everybody. He came to a specific people in a specific location. Where they were hidden, he broke through. I'm talking about the resurrected Christ. And so, he had this body. We're given information about the nature of this resurrected body. We do know that it's a different kind of body. Why? Because it's not limited by the laws of nature. We now know. We also know that this resurrected body was able to enter a room without opening the doors. So now we learn something about this body, that so Jesus is able to break through your cell of fear even though you think you are safe in that fear. So now we know that this kind of faith we're talking about, this kind of economy, this kind of kingdom cannot be stopped by locked doors, Jesus can come to you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are. Walls and locked doors are no barrier for Jesus to come into your heart. So he's breaking through this morning. He's breaking through into somebody's heart right now. He's breaking through that barricade of fear. He's breaking through that today. In the name of Jesus. Nothing can stop him. See, this resurrected body is different from the one you knew, Peter. The one you knew, this one can break through your locked heart. This is the Jesus we're talking about. It doesn't matter how long you've been behind those doors. Maybe 5 years, maybe 10. It doesn't matter how long you've been behind that addiction. Today, that spirit, that power of pornography, Jesus can break through that door. And he came. And what does he do? When he comes, listen to this. When he comes in, Jesus realizes that they are shocked by what has just happened here. Because they are still thinking of the past, that a human body cannot go through locked doors. Of course, you're right. You're right. Have you been in a meeting where someone stands up and gives a word, and that word is exactly what's in your heart? It's exactly what you're thinking. It's exactly what you've been meditating on. How did you come through my heart? Resurrection power is breaking through right now as I speak. You can't stop Jesus Christ. The reason disciples were unstoppable is because they knew someone who had unstoppability wired inside of him. His name is Jesus. Did I just give you a new word right there? Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I didn't know it myself. It just came. So Jesus then says to them, Shalom. Peace be with you. Shalom. They knew this greeting. It was a common greeting. It's a Jewish greeting that means, may the Lord be with you. May all be well with you. May everything that is broken be put together. May everything be well with you. He says, Shalom. In your fear, Shalom. Behind your locked doors, Shalom. So where are you today? You must understand here that he could have rebuked them because of their unfaithfulness and cowardice a few days ago. Remember, he comes to them. My goodness, if it was me, I was like, yeah, so tell me. What were you thinking? What were you thinking? No, Jesus doesn't take that approach. Shalom. May all be well with you. May all be well with you. You're blessed. He did not lash out in anger or resentment. What does he do? He greets them as friends. That's the God we worship. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. It was the same word he had spoken to them on that last night when he said to them, my peace I leave with you. My peace I leave. He comes back and he says, Shalom. Peace be with you. Can you imagine? What is he doing? Jesus is working on something here. Remember, he's trying to move them from fear to what? To courage. And to start that process, first he comes to them. And when he comes to them, he speaks something to them. And it's something encouraging. It's something building them up. It's something that will establish them in the faith. He doesn't go for them. Is that what we say? Go for him. No, he encourages them. I'm reminded of what Paul says. Paul says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall be upon you. In Philippians 4:7. This is the good news of today. The good news of the resurrection story is that may the peace of God be with you. Amen. And this peace surpasses all understanding. So this peace goes beyond what has put you behind locked doors. You don't understand it, why you are excited when things seem to be falling apart in your life, but somehow deep within inside of you, there's a voice that says to you, all is well. That is the Spirit of God. That is the peace I'm talking about. The shalom that comes from God. And so Paul says, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, all psychology, all counseling, all the witch doctors we have visited, all the counselors we have visited, this peace surpasses all understanding. May that peace be with you. And it's from Zion. It's not of man. It's from Zion. It's a gift of God. It comes to us through what? Faith. Faith. Faith in the resurrected Christ. And it is this kind of peace that penetrates locked doors and shocks everybody. How is it that you're happy when you're sick? How is it that you're happy when you've lost your job? How is it that you're happy when such and such is happening? I am because I've got the peace of God. All is well because I've got the peace of God. When Jesus comes, he comes with peace. I don't know whether shopping starts tomorrow. I couldn't find a shop that is having a sale tomorrow. Now, if you find one, let me know. Anyway, the good thing about a sale is, I don't know, in England we have this thing where you say, buy 3 for 2. Is it the other way around? Buy 2 for 3. In other words, you're being given 3 for the price of 2. Is that correct? My goodness. So you find in those kind of shops, we step on each other. Now, here's the thing. When Jesus comes, you've got yourself, got the Father, and got the Holy Spirit with you. So that's why when Jesus shows up, you have the peace of God with you. Because Jesus has shown up. Amen. And you have also, Abba is already there with you. And by his Spirit, we say, Abba. So you need to open your heart today. Here's the second thing. Oh my God, my time is gone. Jesus, what does he do? He reassures them. He reassures them. Verse 20, John chapter 20, verse 20 says, when he had said this, now he says, peace be with you. What does he do? He shows them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they actually validated what he had come for and say to them. How many of you know that as human beings, we want proof? As human beings, show me a sign, then I'll believe you. I hear you. You got a job? Yeah, but show me the contract of employment. You've got a house? Show me the deeds. Human mind works in terms of proof. Give me proof. And Jesus comes to their level because he says to them, okay, here I am. Look at my hands. Let me give you some more detail here. Go to Luke chapter 24, please. Luke 24, verse 38. Let me show you what Jesus does. He's very patient with them. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise where? In your hearts. Let's keep going, Buddha. Then he says, so because they were looking at him suspiciously. A ghost has just come in. The door is locked. So who's this guy? What's he looking for? What's going to happen to us? He's reading this. This is a comment running through. And then Jesus says, okay, I can see you're spooked here. See my hands. And my feet. It is I myself. You saw me 3 days ago. It's me. Touch me then. So they touch me. Then he says, you see? Next week, when I talk about another guy who goes further, he says, can I put my finger where the nails went through? We're going to talk about that guy next week. Okay. Okay. Then he says to them, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. There's something missing, though. The blood. The blood is missing there. The blood has been used up at Calvary. So as he shows up there, he has no blood now. This resurrected body does not have blood. Blood means sickness. Blood means death. He has no blood no more. He can die no more because there's no blood. What do you kill now? So he shows up, says, touch, here I am, see me. He says, look at me. And then he goes further. Go to the next verse. What does he do? He says, well, and then when he had showed this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Let's keep going. And while they what? Read with me. While they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, okay, you still don't believe me. I'm going to do something you have never seen before. And you know, I like this part because there's a revelation here. Hmm? Do you see the revelation, Phil? Do you see the revelation here? It means we'll be eating in heaven. Did someone see that revelation? You missed it. It's okay. It's okay. Anyway, so he's in this resurrected body. Right, he says, give me something to eat. And so they give him something to eat. I'd like to believe they gave him fish. Is anyone from? Anyway, they give him fish. And he eats it. Now, why is Jesus is patient? You can imagine how long this took. This is playing out, you know? And he's saying, okay, give me something to eat. I want to show you that I'm with you. I am the Lord. I am the resurrected Christ. I've got a new body, but this body is different. It does eat, you know. It does, but it's a different body. It's not limited by laws of nature. What is he doing? He's reassuring them. He's giving them an opportunity to discover that it is indeed he, the master, that had risen from the dead. And that he was not a ghost. That was his point. I am not a ghost. I am a person. And I've come to you. I've come to you to deal with your fear. I know this because when I was a new believer, I remember I would pray for anything. God will answer me. You remember those days? Whatever you ask for, if you were standing waiting for a bus, say, God, may I have my bus now? It will turn the corner and come. I'm telling you, that simple means you're at elementary level. That's all it means. When you become a son in the faith, you learn to travail in prayer. You stand in prayer. 1 year, nothing happens. You stand in prayer. 2 years passes by, you prevail in prayer. Third year comes by, you are standing in prayer. You are standing firm in faith because you know that he who promised is not a man that he should lie nor change his mind. He keeps his promises. That's his name, he's a covenant keeper. That's his name. But you see, when you're a rookie in the faith, God just answers you. What is he doing? He's moving you from fear to courage. That's how God works. You must also understand that there were wounds. Amen? What is he showing them? Well, the Bible says he shows them their hands, his hands and feet. Those are not just hands. Those were wounds. Amen? And we know what that means. The reason he's eager to show them, he's saying, listen, move away from fear of sickness to faith in healing. Because by his wounds, we are healed. When I'm talking about healing, I'm not talking about just physical healing. And I know two situations God wants to heal today. But I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about a situation where even psychologically, even mentally, even when you're struggling with things, you know, there's something that happens when you come into contact with the wounds of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Because by his wounds, we are healed. So he says to them, touch my wounds. Touch them. Make contact with them. And you will move from fear to courage. So then what happens? Jesus is making progress, because go back to chapter 20 where he says, then the disciples were glad. John 20. Now, what has Jesus done? He has managed to convince them to a level where joy has come. Hallelujah. They are now excited because they have seen with their eyes, they have touched with their hands, they have heard with their ears, and therefore they are now glad. And Jesus, seeing that, okay, I've made progress, he moves them further to the third thing, because that's not all there is. You see, I know most of us want healing. I know most of us want the promises of God. I know most of us want the peace of God, especially the part that says the blessing of God. I know that part. Thank God you're in the house. But that's not all in the faith. That's not the courage I'm talking about. Number three, what does he do? Jesus commissions them. The next verse, I think it's 22. He says to them, so Jesus said to them again, no, stay there. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Now that you got it, now that you understand that I am your master, I am the resurrected Christ, now that you get it, I want to send you in the same level, at the same category as I was sent by the Father to you. Even so, I am now sending you to take my place. You with me? Jesus is changing something here, saying, that which you saw me do, I'm now sending you to go do yourself. Remember, he had already said to them, even greater things than these shall you do. So he commissions them. He commissions them. Their fear has been turned into joy. He commissions them, says, go. Keep in mind that these original disciples, they were not the only one present. There were others in that room that day. And he says to them, go. The commission was not a formal ordination as in a church service. This was a place where ordination always starts in heaven. Amen. You don't need your pastor to tell you to go share the gospel. That ordination came when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Already you have your marching orders to share this gospel. You already have that word from God, that promise from God that go. You've been commissioned. Go, you've been commissioned. But you can't go when you're full of fear. God has to deal with that. You can't go when you're full of disbelief and doubt. God has to deal with that. He has a way of dealing with that. He knows your address. He knows which room you're locked in. He knows what you're hiding from. He's coming for you. He's coming. And when he comes, he's patient with you. And when he reveals himself to you, when that is done, he's going to send you out. That's why you need courage. He was sending them out to guys that had just killed Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm sending you to them. In fact, when he was teaching them, he said, I'm sending you to wolves. That's why you need courage. You need courage out there. We are living in challenging times. We will not preach the gospel when we are full of fear. We will not preach any gospel when we are full of doubt. Amen? We are coming to a place where people will come to your house sick and say, we hear you worship the living God. Can you pray for my dad to be healed, or else we'll shoot you? My friend, you won't sleep that night. I know it's in the scriptures already, because Daniel was told, King Nebuchadnezzar says, unless I know what I dreamt and you give me the revelation of it, I am chopping your heads off. So you better tell me what I dreamt. My friends, they didn't sleep that night. They had a prayer night all night. And then revelation came, hallelujah. And Daniel got it. He went in the morning and says, King, I now know what you're looking for. I know what you dreamt. I also know what it means. You think Pharaoh was tough. Pharaoh wasn't tough. Pharaoh said, listen, find someone who can tell me what I dreamt. Is that what he said? He told them the dream. says, I want an interpretation. While Nebuchadnezzar says, I've forgotten the dream, number one. And I want you to tell me what it means that I forgot. Welcome to Babylon. Are you with me so far? That's called commissioning. We are coming to a place where you need to know Jesus Christ. You need to know your master. You need to know that he won't let you down. He won't leave you alone out there. The Bible says he will neither leave you nor forsake you. He's going to stand with you if you stand on his word. That's why that faith exhortation is important today. These were simple fishermen, ordinary men of no repute, and yet Jesus was entrusting them with the world's biggest message that the world needed to hear. He tells this simple fisherman, I want you to go change the world. I want you to go turn the world upside down with the message of resurrection. But who were these guys? They were nobodies. There was nothing in these guys that you could admire. They were simple fishermen. And yet God sent them out with a life-changing message. Do you know why? Because God has not lost hope with you. God is not done with you yet. God is still on your case. He's not done yet. Yes, you might have failed, but God hasn't given up on you yet. Remember Peter. He had denied him 3 times. Peter said, no, I don't know him. Don't even talk about him in front of me. And this same guy, Jesus comes back to him and says, Shalom, Peter. And it is this same guy commissioned in his first sermon, 3,000 people got saved. Something must have happened there. Now, I know you might be asking this morning, how does that happen? How does that happen? Well, number four, then I'll close. My time is already on zero. Jesus empowered them. He empowered them. Verse 23. What Jesus does is, I don't know whether you've seen these movies where they show you a trailer first in advance. A trailer means that we're finished filming this thing. Okay? A trailer means that we are done with this movie. We're just waiting for the time. You with me? So they put it in a dispensation of time and say, okay, this is done. It's coming. So what Jesus does that night is he breathes on them, says, receive the Holy... Of course, I'm 5 meters away from you, right? Okay. You're okay. So he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. That's a trailer. That's a trailer he's doing there. He's saying, this is coming, but I'm going to give you a trailer right now. So he breathes and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And we know that a few days later at Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came. And when he came like tongues of fire that settled on 120 of them, still in the upper room this time, but not full of fear, but full of prayer. Something happened there. Because see, things of God are accessed through prayer. You cannot become a man or woman of God when you don't know how to pray. There is a certain dimension you tap into when you choose to become a man or woman of prayer. And there they were in the upper room. When they were tapping into this dimension of prayer, the Holy Spirit came as per the trailer. And so, they were now empowered to change the world. Here they were, sent out among wolves. But you couldn't stop them. You couldn't restrain them. You couldn't lock them in prison. This time Peter was locked in prison. The Holy Ghost broke into prison through an angel who said, come out. Everything fell apart and he was out. Peter is locked with Silas in a Philippian prison. What happens? The Holy Ghost goes and fetches them out. Because you can't lock in that which has been locked out. You can't lock in that is unlockable, that is unstoppable, that is unlimitable, that is unrestrainable. That's what happened. That's what empowering means. You're unstoppable. Nothing can stop a man or woman of faith. Nothing can stop a man or woman who's filled with the Holy Ghost. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What does the Bible say? God says, his church shall prevail. Even the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. You are the church. Yes, the devil thought he had won. Yes, the devil thought Jesus was defeated. But on the third day, all hell was shaken. And even the tombstone was broken because of the anointing, the power from on high. Jesus was raised by the Holy Ghost. And it is that Holy Ghost that wants to empower you today. Life can never be the same when the Holy Ghost comes. Hallelujah. A new dispensation was introduced that day. We are reminded what happened in Genesis 2:7 when God breathed on this new man he had met, and the Bible says he became a living soul. That was physical life. And Jesus, this time, he breathes on the disciples, but this time it's not physical life. He's breathing into them. It's spiritual life. Unless you're born of the Spirit, you are not a child of God. And so we've come to a place, a season, a dispensation where without the Spirit of God, you cannot say, I am the Son of God. You need the Spirit of God. Life sometimes does not move until you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Things don't change unless you're filled with the Spirit of God. It's not enough to know the Bible. Can I say this? Theology is not enough. You need the power of God. It must be accompanied by the power of God. It's not enough to go to church. You need the power of God. It's not enough to quote all the scriptures. Jesus says, you Pharisees, you know the scriptures inside and outside, but you don't know the power thereof. We need the Holy Ghost. We need to be empowered to be courageous Christians. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you. I thank you for faith. Faith that cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith that is a substance of things that we do not see, but we know that they are title deeds already to the promises of God upon our lives. And so as I pray today for different ones, may your hand be upon them. Father, that the spirit of fear may be broken in this congregation. Fear of sickness, fear of finances, fear of relationships falling apart, fear of the unknown. This morning, Lord, I declare and pronounce that fear is broken. That stronghold of fear is broken in the name of Jesus. We challenge that spirit of fear. May our faith increase this morning. That Jesus Christ, you may come into our hearts through locked doors of fear, breakthrough today. I speak peace into situations today. Peace into that marriage. Peace into that job situation. Peace into that relational situation. Peace, my God, into whatever situation is in this room and online. I speak peace of God in the name of Jesus. I want to pray for two situations and then I'll finish. There's someone with a neck problem. You're having a pain on your neck. I want to pray with you this morning. And there's someone who's having there's pain on your shoulder. Very excruciating pain on your shoulder. I want to pray for these two situations right now. Father, I pray for your healing on these two situations. The one with the neck, let your power flow right now and bring healing in the name of Jesus. I pray for the shoulder situation, Father, that you've already healed. I just speak it right now into being and speak wholeness into that shoulder. For by your wounds, we are healed. So let that power to heal flow over those two situations and other situations I don't know of, my God. Spirit of God, you do know them. You're able to locate them. May your healing flow to those situations. In the name of Jesus. And God's people said amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.